Same as he means what he says in the Word of God. And whatever our views, whatever how we want to change it, or the Holy Spirit will still remain faithful to his Word, because the Holy Spirit, the unction, the anointing, is the one who is teaching us his Word in the last days. And I have a title for our teaching today: Faith Doesn't Need Any Help. Faith doesn't need any help. And so often we have this idea that our walk of faith, we need to help God. We need to give him some ideas. We need to show our human strength against his divine strength. Does it sound familiar? Of course it does. And all the while, we get in the way of faith and our faith walk. We're going to find that God will take us around the same course over and over and over again until it drops that 18 inches from our heads to our hearts. That he doesn't need our help. What he does want is our faith to believe. And it is a childlike faith. And faith, even if it's simply a mustard seed of faith, will always get out of the way of God, will let go and let God be God. He's a sovereign God. He doesn't need our help. He doesn't need our ideas or whatever. And that is why the Holy Spirit has come to lead and guide and teach us. And he will teach us how to walk by faith and not by sight. Sadly, there are too many who profess themselves as Christians are not walking a supernatural walk as a Christian should be walking. And that is what our walk is all about. Our salvation is supernatural. God revealing himself is supernatural. God turning you around from when you were walking in the way of sin and unbelief, the very power, God turning you around, is supernatural. The very fact that you believe and the Word of God is being revealed to you is supernatural. Because it's not in man's ability. It's not in his strength, in his wisdom. And we see so much religion today trying to do that. is completely supernatural. The very fact that we sit here today, this meeting, and brothers and sisters coming into the room is supernatural. It doesn't lie within us. And that's why I'm calling this teaching, Faith Doesn't Need Any Help. It doesn't need any help, which often is a sign that when we're believing, when we come to that place that it doesn't need any help, that is a sign you are believing. And the humble who walk humbly before God, they won't need any signs, they won't need any evidence, they won't depend on feeling anointed, feeling spiritual. They won't be always wanting to be on the mountaintop. The humble, those that walk by faith, where every day believe by faith, whatever faith conditions it brings. Whatever the wind, whatever the weather, whatever the season, whatever is happening or happening at home or in the marriage or at work, or with the children, or with ourselves, whatever it is, they rest in that simply because I walk this day by faith. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I walk today now for Jesus. That is what it's all about. And the humble hear that. Let's turn to some scriptures. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Verses 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Why? For the Lord upholds him with his hand. There's your rest. There's your confidence. Because when I wake up and I get out of bed, my steps are ordered by the Lord. And I dare not get in the way of that. Isn't that wonderful? So why do we want to get in the way of that? Why do we want to plan and scheme? Why do we want to try and work it out when God says exactly what it is? The steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord. In other words, they're ordained. They're predestined. Nothing is going to change it. If you go out of the perfect will of God, God is going to so work it, you get back on course. You get back in line. And if he has to chasten you, he will do so. And he has chastened all of us for that very purpose, to get us back on line, because our steps are ordered by him. That is why. And if you're in unbelief, and often with unbelief goes fear, then unbelief, fear, resists the steps of God that God has ordained. Unbelief will always be a bit cautious. I'm not sure I do want to totally trust God, because I know some of the ways he takes you, and I'm not sure I want to go that way. You know, fear will do that. Fear will try and look ahead and say, I can't go through this, Lord. No. Don't let me go through this trial. I saw a sister go through this 2 years ago. I couldn't go through that. There's no way I could go through that. Why do we do that? Why do we listen to the devil? We've already read it there. God orders our steps. What steps are ordered for your sister is different for your brother. Because God knows us. But it is still a walk of faith. And that is the whole point. You see, faith will always rest and experience God in time of trial and trouble. And we have it. And there is the opportunity right in the midst of trial and trouble to rest by faith. God wants to bring you and I to a place where with whatever's happening, no matter how strong the wind is howling, how hard the rain is beating, there is a rest to be found. Psalm 27 and verse 5. Psalm 27 and verse 5. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. And what is a pavilion? A pavilion is a covering. Now, pavilions are interesting things. If you go and walk round parks, a lot of parks have a pavilion. And bands play in a pavilion. Have you ever seen a pavilion where a band plays? They've got covering over their head in case it rains, but all the outward side of it is exposed. It's open. And it needs to be, because if it's all closed in, you wouldn't be able to hear them play. But they've still got covering, and they need covering because, I mean, they can't play when it's belting down with rain. And so do you get the picture? It might not look as though it's a covering. You think, well, hang on, where's all the sides then? Shouldn't, you know, that all be protected? Not necessarily. The protection's right over the head of you. God will always protect your head. Why? Because your head is so important to the function of your body. That is where we hear in the head, through the ears. That is where we see through the head, the eyes. That is where we speak through the head, the mouth. So there it is. That's what he says here. He shall hide me in his pavilion. In other words, it's a secret place. You are hid from the enemy. The enemy's searching for you, but he can't find you. Because God has hid you. There is your rest of faith. So the enemy can't destroy you in your trial or trials that you're going through. Where is it? In the secret place of his tabernacle. That's where you're hid. Now, does Satan have access into the tabernacle of God? No, he doesn't. He was cast out. He can come before the presence of God, but he can't go into the presence of God. And there's a difference. You are in the presence of God because you have been forgiven. You're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The veil of the temple was rent in two, where only once the high priest could go in. Now the royal priesthood can go in and stay in there, which you are. A royal priesthood. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And who is that rock? Jesus. My goodness me. How can we doubt in just one verse? Look what's in one verse there. It's everything. Everything is there in one verse. That's what I love about the Word of God. You don't always have to read reams and reams and reams of it. It can be just one verse telling you everything that you need to know. Praise God. So the question is, are we experiencing this? Or are we still thinking that God needs some help in some way? Or whatever it is. That's the question. How about 2 Peter? 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 5 to 10. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be more diligent to make your calling election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Look what is added to faith. It's all there in order to let go. Until finally, when all these wonderful virtues are added to our faith, we have that brotherly kindness, that agape love. And he says, for if these things are yours and abound, you're neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you will not be barren, nor will you be unfruitful, but on the contrary. Why? Because you have a knowledge of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. You have come to that place to see who really your faith is. And it's the one who lives in you. He is your faith. He is your strength. He is your all. He is everything. He is my all. That chorus that we sing. And that's what it's all about. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We know that faith, the idea of faith, is to lean upon something, isn't it? Like when you lean upon a wall or you sit upon a chair. So in our case, we lean completely, utterly upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one we lean upon. So everything stems from him. The idea of leaning upon him is he is our strength. He can take my load. He can take my burden. He can take all that the world did to me before I came to Christ. He can take it upon himself. And he's the only one that can do that. Now we might think in our flesh, who'd ever take on all of that baggage? My goodness me, but he can, because he paid for it at Calvary. We can't take it on. That's why we should never take on a brother or sister's load, their problems, their complications. And we've done it in the past through emotions and feelings, only to find that it weighs us down. We are simply mediators where they, yes, put it upon us when they talk, when we minister, and we know immediately what to do with their load. We present it before Christ and leave it there with him. That is what ministry is about. And that is when God uses you and will use you, you have got to learn that one. You cannot take on your brother or sister's load, their burden. You take it on in order to pass it over by faith to the one who can heal them, deliver them and save them. That is how it's done. That is how Jesus ministered, and that is how you will minister. Because sometimes you will minister, you will find some things in the natural can break your heart, can stir you within your heart, who can with what they have gone through, what they say, brings every raw emotion out of you. But you have got to learn to pass that on to Almighty God, else you are no use to them.
Amen.
Your emotions have their place, but they are of no use if it is not faith that is in operation. And we are learning that one. God's teaching us that one. That's why he says that without faith it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11:6. And that's why our faith walk over the years in nature has been a spiritual deliverance. And he's worked that deliverance through these trials, through tests, through delays of faith, and so on. That is why I've always said that the deeper life in nature is deliverance. It's God removing those hindrances to our faith. And boy, haven't there been a lot in the past when we look back. But there is the patience and mercy of God who doesn't give up on us. That's what's so wonderful, isn't it? You know? And you see those hindrances and you're waiting for that deliverance, you're waiting for that change, but he doesn't give up on us. He's ever moving us forward, isn't he? Because of his mercy and grace. But I also find in our deliverance, and we're all being delivered, we're being delivered today, brothers and sisters, in his presence, for the purpose that we keep our eyes on him and him alone, as we heard in that prophecy today. That is why we're being delivered. Because hindrances, demons, hinder you from seeing Jesus as you should see him. That is the nature of demonic warfare, is to keep your eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. And the nature of the deeper life is deliverance for that very purpose, so that you can have your eyes solely set upon him. That's why we're a threat. That's why he tries to fight like he does. That's what. Where is he fighting at this moment? He's fighting against the wise virgins. Because he doesn't like what's happening. She's getting all that oil. She's getting all that preparation. She is learning not to listen or to look to anything or anyone else. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. Because my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, Philippians 2 says. That's why. That's why. And that's why God will bring us back to the basic faith that we once received years back, because it's still continuing to believe. You see, I think at times we forget that our believing must have faith, and with the word that we hear, we've got to mix that faith. We know this well, but I want to remind you again in Hebrews 4, because this was Israel's failure. And Israel is set as an example that we are not to make that same mistake. Even though there's nothing new under the sun, we're not to make that mistake. Hebrews 4, verses 1 to 3. And this is where the promise of the rest comes. And when we learn this, we then find that God doesn't need any help with our faith. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So because Israel would not mix faith with that which they were hearing, he said they will not enter the promised land. And what was that promised land? It was a land of rest. We now inherit that rest by faith. We are pressing in to the promised land, the land that is full of blessing. We know the story, don't we? We've recited it so often. But God sifted Israel on confession. God separated them what was coming out of their mouth. For 40 years, they still spoke like the heathen nations, as though nothing had happened. God forbid that that should be with us. And if you've got a godly fear of that, then you are what it says here. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. There's that word fear. I have a fear, in other words, what is contrary to God's will and word coming out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And if that fear is there, then God has put that there. The foolish virgins don't really have that fear. And do you know why they don't have that fear? Because they've not asked for it.
Yeah.
See? We so ask amiss, don't we? We so ask for the wrong things.
Sure.
You see, to get the right things, you've got to ask for the right thing first. And that is fear. So there is a fear about the wise virgins, about what they say, their confession that comes out of their mouth, because they know that will hinder their faith. And if their faith is hindered, then there's not that rest that should be. And when there's not that rest, then James says they're like the wave tossed to and fro, like that ship on the wave. Up and down, to and fro. And sadly, haven't we seen it, brothers and sisters? You can see it. It doesn't mean to say that God's given up on them, but they cannot go forth as those wise virgins. That's the whole point. So, with everything we hear, we mix faith with it. Now you may say to me, well, how do I actually mix faith with that? I'm hearing it, yes, and I want to hear it, but how do I mix faith with it? Well, we've been told often the analogy of mixing faith like baking a cake. A cake has to have all the ingredients. It's got to have the flour, it's got to have the baking powder, it has got to have the sugar, it has got to have the eggs, and it's got to have something else as well, where it's all mixed up, whipped up to make that right substance in which that cake is produced. And it also needs something else as well that so often is forgotten, a bit of salt. It actually enhances the taste of a cake. So there it is, it's all mixed. So as we're hearing today, because we're told that faith comes by hearing the word of God, your mixing faith is amen. Praise God. Preach it. Carry on. I like this. This is right. This is speaking to me. This is life. And also what it does, as the word challenges, so we then take it before God and we talk it out. That's why I'm a great believer that you have a note and pad. Not to take down word for word, that's not what we're talking about, but sometimes you're just jogged. Ah, yes, I need to write that down because I want to talk to the Lord about this. See? Because that's what he wants. That's what he loves. Because that is your faith. That's your faith. You're mixing your faith with what you're hearing. You see? Because it takes time. We don't grasp everything over the first meeting, over the first sermon. No way. It's a process. Here we are, well, myself, I'm well over 40 years now. And still learning. Still learning, you see. So that is how you mix faith. And some see that and some don't. And why is that? Because their faith, what they have, is producing something. And what is it producing? Revelation of God's will. Christ in you. What he's saying in you. What he's wanting in you. You see, we starve at times Christ in us. We hinder him when we hold unforgiveness, because he's love. We hinder him when we hold back, whether it's in love or in giving or whether there's needs. We're hindering him in us. We hinder him if we don't go to that place. I'm a bit afraid. We're hindering him from walking in us to meet those needs or whatever it is. Can you not see this, brothers and sisters? I'm holding him back. Because those rivers of living water need to reach out. Do you know the power of those living waters in you? When they go out, those rivers of living water are saying, live. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Those rivers of living water are dividing light and darkness. Amen. They are living as God has lives. Yeah. And it's speaking life. And it says to those dead people out there, live. In the name of Jesus. Amen. That is what is in you. And it comes on the basis of simply believing. That is that extra vessel of oil. That is the oil of anointing that is in you and me. Is it not? Yes. Hallelujah. Satan wants us to remain in ignorance. He might not be able to damn our salvation, but he's going to rob you of rewards. He's going to keep you out of the perfect will of God. He'll try any trick of the book. He's a master at it. If it were even possible, he'd deceive even the very elect. So don't think that you come to a place where he can't touch you anymore. Oh, he's trying. But your eyes are fixed firmly on Jesus. And that is the point. And if he's having a go or he's trying to trip you up, well, it's only going to be for a season. It's not my concern, because all I'm doing, I've got my eyes on Jesus and I'm listening to him. And I'm not going to listen to that gossip, that criticism. And sadly, it can come so often out of those who profess themselves as Christians. We don't put our ears or eyes to it. Because we haven't got time. It's 24/7 when you keep your eyes upon the Lord. I haven't got time for anything else. Unless God leads me or guides me. You see, So many in churches today that are preaching faith, and faith is being preached. Oh, it's a popular message. Oh, faith is being preached, all right, but I tell you, so often what you hear is, well, if you want a greater faith, you want a stronger faith, then you've got to get into the Word more. You've got to pray more. You've got to read the Bible more. You've got to go to this particular church, and you've got to submit yourself to that church. And you've got to give your 10% to that church. You've got to be involved in the church's activity. Does it all sound familiar? And they'll use all of that so you'll have a strong faith. And so what is faith reduced to? Works. Religious works. See, God doesn't do that with you. He says, you want a strong faith? Walk with me. Keep your eyes on me. That's your strong faith. Look at the difference. It's bondage with man. It's not with the Lord. It's deliverance. And it's so simple. That's the whole point. It's so simple. And of course there's a place to read your Bible. Of course there's a place to pray and whatever. But you do it because you love him. And he loves you. And there is the difference. Who wants to have a prayer life? Well, I must pray now. I've got to have my hour. I must go. I'll be with you after an hour. I've got to have time with the Lord. That's not, you know. Now, yeah, we have a certain routine. Don't get me wrong. You know, if you have young children, children do need a routine. Of course they do. But all of that's coming because you seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. There's the difference, you see. And you're not striving at it. You're not working at it all the time. It comes like naturally breathing. That is my point, you see. Because that is the rest that we have. We've just read in Hebrews 4. But you'll find that so many today, you know, if you want a strong faith, well, my suggestion is you subscribe to this ministry and you give financially faithfully month after month to it, and I can guarantee you, you'll have a strong faith. They don't say it in so many words like that, but that's the implication. You've heard it and I've heard it. No. We have the Holy Spirit within us. He's going to tell us. He's going to show us. Because he knows everything. Nothing is hid from his eyes. So the very one who guides and leads you knows everything. Nothing is hid from him. And he is able to deal with every situation because he's Almighty God.
Amen.
That is why faith doesn't need any help at all. Because it's a revelation and it is revealed to us. Romans chapter 1, as we bring this to a close. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. 16 to 17 of Romans chapter 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greeks. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, or his faithfulness. There we are. That is it in a nutshell in those two verses. Can you boast in any of that? No. Does God need any help in this? No. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You see, we may be ashamed of the gospel because the enemy still has a hold. And I'm still not believing as I should be. I'm still trying to help God or help my faith, or I'm still trying to be in control in some way so it holds me in bondage. No, when we fully grasp this, we'll have that boldness that we're not ashamed of it, because it's delivered me. It has totally set me free. And I can boast in none of it, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it's the power, that dunamis power of God to salvation. So it's the very power that Christ had and walked by and with, and that raised him from the dead, raising him up triumphant as an overcomer, the first overcomer. There is that same power in my life through salvation to everyone who believes. And of course to the Jew first and also to the Greek, because that was always Paul's burden, being a Jew himself, because they have so much more to lose, because they were the only nation out of all nations that had revelation of Yahweh. For in the righteousness of God is revealed. So his righteousness. Whose righteousness? Not yours, his, that is imputed to you. Mm-hmm. He has made you right. Amen. And there is the supernatural power. That is why your life is a supernatural life. He has made you right before the presence of Almighty God. The righteousness of God is revealed. So it is a revelation. It is a learning process. Yes, something has happened to you. Yes, your life has changed. A power now works in your life. But he's going to teach you. He's going to reveal to you what he has done. And the one who has done it, and the one who lives in you that has made you right. And how is it done? From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I live by faith, period. I don't know anymore, and I don't want to. Unless the Holy Spirit reveals, I don't know. I know nothing. Me know nothing. You know? So when they ask you, or they try to get you involved, you know, sometimes have people try to get you involved, get you on their side and everything. Me know nothing. I know nothing. Unless it's revealed. That's how Jesus walked. I don't know anything. I only know if he reveals. Because that's what faith does. Faith is a revelation. It is a revealer. Not of you, your works, your efforts. It is a revealer of the Lord Jesus Christ, who in his fullness lives in you and I. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. And that's why, as I close, true faith will always lead you back to Jesus, who is the author, finisher of your faith. Amen. Amen, amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, again, words cannot express the gratitude, the thanks. Lord, how you're working out of us this striving, this trying. We don't have to. You are our strength made perfect in weakness. And the weaker you make us, the stronger we become in Christ. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity of what we've heard today, that we're able to mix faith with it. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that we are so blessed in these last days. It seems at times so few want to walk with us. So few really hunger to be that wise virgin. And yet something within us knows. Something within us hungers and thirsts for it. Something within us will not take second best. And you placed it there. You've revealed it to us. And Lord, I thank you that your love, your hand, your healing power is over us. You are delivering us, Lord. You're making us whole in mind, body, spirit.
Thank you.
And that is why we can boldly and confidently say that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we were healed at Calvary.
Yes, Jesus.
We're all of us going through trials. We're all of us in areas and degrees of believing, waiting for manifestation, waiting to see the mighty hand of God. And we know, Lord, you've shown us that our delays are absolutely tailor-made, because faith requires those delays, because it's like a spiritual muscle that must be exercised and used. And we know, Lord, when we're in faith, because it looks and is in the natural impossible. It looks hopeless. It looks as though we missed the boat months ago. It looks as though God isn't even there. He has left. It looks destitute. It's like a desert. There's nothing. It looks completely dead. There so often the circumstances in the natural to our faith. And yet they're the very, very conditions that are exercising that muscle of faith, Lord. Lord, we just marvel. We just thank you, Father. And you are helping us not to take any notice of it, but that whatever we face each day, we simply wax stronger and bolder in the faith. We will not take no for an answer. You have revealed your promises to us, Lord. And you've said that you are not a God and Father who lies. Even though the enemy may get very vocal, we thank you, Lord, that you have not forsaken us. We are your people, separated unto you. They may laugh at us. They may reject us. They may say all what they may say and do. But it doesn't matter. Because we are your people who follow the Lamb. And our eyes are looking to Jesus. And we thank you for this. And Lord, I thank you for our meeting today. Thank you for bringing my brothers and sisters into the room. Be with them, bless them, preserve and keep them until we meet again. And Lord, I pray that we will continue to look up now as our redemption draws near, that we will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that we will walk in your ways and keep your commandments. Help us, Father, not to veer off to the left or to the right, but to remain in that place, in that centre, in the palm of your hand. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.